This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40, and it's on page 1028 in the Church Bibles. And here we read of Jesus' presentation in the temple. And in the middle of this passage, we have Simeon's prayer, which some of you will recognize as the Nunc Dimittis, which appears in the Book of Common Prayer. Traditionally sung at Vespers, Compline, and Evensong. So Jesus' presentation in the temple, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that they will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. I have a little challenge here for our children. So I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes maybe, and we have here on the floor one of the verses that we've, the reading that we've just had, which we're going to use at the end. So I wonder, are there any children in our midst who would like to take up the challenge of trying to colour in all of this before I finish? If you beat me to it, I might even stop early. Have I got anyone? If there's any one, then it could take a while. We could be here for a long time. Let's pull it out a bit. Got anyone else? So you've got 15 minutes. There's a lot of letters here to colour in. You are going to need some help. Right, whilst they're sorting themselves out, I'm going to move this down here because I much prefer to be down. Brilliant. So I have now have a crowd of people colouring letters and the clock is running. Well, good morning. So I have been at Christchurch about 2.5 years. I'm married to Esther here. And my daughter is one of my children, somewhere in here, over there. We've got 3 children. And for us, Christchurch is home. It's a joy to be here. And it's great to be here with you this morning. Now, I wonder, when you look at a painting, how do you interact with it? So for me, my background is in computing, technical, and engineering before that. And when I look at a painting, I tend to be quite analytical. And so I maybe look at the colours that have been used and the type of the painting and what the picture is of. And it's not particularly emotional. And that's just the way that I engage with paintings. In my second year at Trinity, we had an artist visit us. And he ran a session where he brought in some of his paintings and some sculpture. And one bit really impacted me. He gave us a commentary about a particular painting he'd done. It was a picture of Jesus, and I could see that, and the crown of thorns kind of gave away that it was something to do with the crucifixion. But he started talking about the emotion that was there and his sense of the injustice in the world and all the kind of feelings that were welling up in him as he was painting. And it was like, for me, it was just like layer upon layer of meaning being put on top of this painting that I just simply didn't see before. First time I looked at it, none of that hit me. And so I went on this amazing sort of journey in that conversation of starting to see with different eyes. And then I couldn't get away from it. Every time I looked at this painting, just all these different voices and emotions and feelings were there in the midst of this piece of artwork because I'd started to see it in a different way. So I set about, as I journeyed through my second year at Trinity, when I did bump into a painting, some sculpture, poetry, music, to spend the time and think, well, what else could this be saying? What emotions does this evoke in me? And to try and get into more of a connection with what was before me. Now, that's a journey for me, and each of us will engage with art in different ways. And that's great, because we're all individuals, we're all unique. And the way that we engage with it is something that is ours to do. Well, the reason I tell that brief account is, as we look at our reading today, we see 2 things. We see a very ordinary Jewish story. It's the parents of a child bringing their firstborn male child for purification and consecration at the temple. There's absolutely nothing unusual about that. And it would have been happening all over the place. The temple would have been filled with this kind of thing happening. And intermingled with that, it's not like separate from it, we see the work of God, the work of his Spirit, just unfolding God's plan here. It's a very ordinary Jewish event and a very extraordinary plan of God for the salvation of mankind. And it's like we see people who see things with different eyes. So let's go through this account, and I'll just pick out as we do what the Holy Spirit is doing and what we can learn from that. So first thing to note is Joseph and Mary, their heart was to do what the law required. They were devout Jewish people. They would have known the Torah, the law, the scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. They would have known the writings of the prophets. And they would have known that through those writings, a Messiah was prophesied. That God spoke again and again and again that he would send a savior. And every Jewish person would know this. They're brought up in the scripture. And so Mary and Joseph, they do what is right. They bring Jesus to be purified at the temple. And we see right at the end of that reading that when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. There's our closing of the story. They did what was required. But then we bump into Simeon. What does it say about Simeon? He was righteous and devout, okay? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So was every Jew, waiting for that salvation, that restoration, the rescuing of the people of Israel. And then we see something different. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Whenever the Bible starts talking about the Holy Spirit, you know that God is at work here. The kingdom of God, there's something going on in the kingdom of God, so we pay attention here. It had been revealed to Simeon that by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah, before he had seen Jesus. So Simeon clearly is a man who hears the voice of God. And he's there at the temple just wondering when God is going to send this Messiah. Will it be today or next week or the month after? And this is this particular day when it says he's moved by the Spirit to go into the temple courts. Now you have to picture the temple here. The temple is a busy place. It's not like coming into an empty place where you've got just the Holy of Holies and you work your way through individually. It is full of people. Simeon's moved to go into the temple courts. And what happens? He meets Mary and Joseph. That's a God-ordained meeting. Simeon takes the child in his arms, Jesus. And immediately there's this recognition. You know, Simeon takes him in his arms, it says, and praised God, saying, Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Isn't that amazing? God keeps his promises. How are we doing on the picture? Haven't got long. Simeon's been waiting and waiting and waiting, and suddenly there's this child in his arms. It could be any child. No doubt he's done this before. He's had other parents bring their firstborn male, and yet this time it is different. He knows, who from the Holy Spirit, that this is the Messiah. Now, what's more remarkable about this is the nature of the Messiah arriving. So many of the Jewish people would have been looking for a king who would come and rescue them from Roman oppression. They were a people now oppressed, now captive to a controlling state, and they wanted God to take them out of that and release them into their promised future. So they were seeing with eyes that just saw that. Simeon sees with eyes of the Holy Spirit and sees so much more. He then prophesies. He said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You see how God's plan is so much bigger than what the Jewish people were looking at. They were looking for their salvation. And God says, no, I'm going to send myself as a baby. Wow, that's a bit, you know, they were wanting a king to come just charging in and save them. Here's a baby in their arms who's going to grow up as a child and become a man and die. And Simeon sees that that isn't just for the nation of Israel. That isn't just for the Jewish people. Yes, it is for them. It's actually a way that all nations, everyone, can come through following Jesus back into relationship with God. It's the restoration of the whole of God's creation in Jesus for those who choose to follow Jesus and live lives of obedience to him. So there you are, Simeon, seeing with different eyes. Now, it says here, the child's father and mother, quite why it doesn't call them Joseph and Mary, I don't know, but that's quite interesting, marveled at what was said about Jesus. Don't you find that amazing? So Mary, she's met the angel Gabriel, which is pretty amazing. I mean, that's quite a scary thing. She's given birth to Jesus. Joseph met the angel again. He said, look, stay with Mary. It's okay. This is God's work. And yet they're still on a journey of learning who Jesus is and just what God is up to by coming into the world as Messiah, as Emmanuel, as God with us. So their eyes are being opened by the Holy Spirit working through Simeon here, saying, actually, this plan is way bigger than you were thinking. Now, not just Simeon at the temple has eyes to see what God is doing. The prophet Anna says of her, she was very old. And then it says, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She was a woman of God, a woman of prayer, a woman of deep devotion to God, who knew the voice of the Holy Spirit. She comes up to them at that very moment. Now that says to me, that's another one of the Holy Spirit just orchestrating things to say, I need to get Joseph and Mary and Jesus and Simeon and Anna all in the same place at the same time, and then we're going to see God's plan starting to unfold. What does she do? She gives thanks to God, and then she speaks about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So the temple, again, as I said, full of people, all milling around. She's there saying, hey, this is the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine people looking, what, that child? How can that be? Well, how can that be? It can be because God is at work. It can be because that child is God. So what we can see here is Simeon and Anna, they saw with different eyes. They went into a very ordinary event, but they saw what God was doing. Mary and Joseph started to see more of what God was doing because Simeon and Anna were obedient to what the Holy Spirit was prompting them to do. Now, as we think about all of that, we might think, well, okay, that's great. That's part of this narrative of Jesus' birth, an account of his life and his young life. And we move on after that to Jesus at the temple. And we can think, well, okay, yeah, that's all very nice, but how does that impact us today? What should I do tomorrow in light of that account? And I think there's a few things that we can take from this. Firstly, we can take that prophetic voice that says, Jesus came as Savior for the entire world, that all who put their faith in Jesus will be saved. This isn't just for the Jewish people. It isn't just for some people. This is for all people who choose to follow Jesus. So that's one thing. We can have hope. We can have a certain hope. I think the second thing I'd like us to think about, particularly as we think about the year ahead, is that we bump into two people who looked at things differently. We bumped into two people who dared to say, what are you doing, God? And dared to listen to an answer that was so much bigger than what they were expecting. Janet's just told me, and I've just looked, this is this amazing poster. I'm going to finish off, but still need another minute. I should have written more letters. So, this idea of looking with different eyes, I want us to think about and take away that idea as we think about the year ahead. So I said to you, I think about years in three words. And so as I go into 2020, I spent some time over Christmas thinking about what words would sum up for me God, my interaction with God's kingdom in the coming year. My interaction with God, the interaction of the community that I'm part of with God. And just as a means of bringing my attention as I travel through the year with things that God wanted to keep in focus. And so for me, those three words going into 2020 are trust and confidence and change. Now for each of us, if you went through that exercise, you'd come up with different words. There might be some overlap. But for me, it just helps me to say, okay, as I go into situations, I can say, God, what are you doing here? Where are you asking me to trust you? God, what are you doing here in this change? Is this change of you? What's the purpose of this change? God, where are you asking me to have your confidence in different situations? And so my encouragement to you, an invitation, is to say, spend some time as you come up to the start of the year. Time in prayer, time asking God, saying, where are you going to be at work in my life? Where are you going to be at work in the life of my community? What's going to be my involvement in your kingdom purposes, God, in 2020? And see if you might capture those different emphases in a few words. You might choose three, like I did. You might choose less or choose more. You might choose to paint a picture or write a poem or something that captures what God is thinking, you know, your interaction with God in the year ahead. And then carry that through with the year with you. And just refer back to it as a means of saying, okay, this is where you said we were going. I'm just looking at this poster now. It really is very finished. They've gone off the writing onto more pictures. This is brilliant. We ought to wind up. I'm going to wind up with some prayer. I've given you an invitation to do something. That's not something we're going to do right now. That's something to think about as we come up to January the 1st and maybe for the whole of this week. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the way that you touched Simeon and Anna. The way that you revealed to them God's kingdom purposes. And we thank you that today, 2,000 years later, that Jesus is living and alive and our Savior as much as he was 2,000 years ago. And we ask that you will be present with us in this week ahead as we journey with you. Think about the year ahead and think about where we might search for your presence and your work. And help us to respond with obedient hearts to all that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Do you think you could hold that up for everyone to see and then we can read it out? Come up onto the, why don't you come up onto the steps? That's brilliant. This is amazing. Look at that. Isn't that brilliant? I think that deserves a clap. Oh, and a bit more. That's great. You have to look over the top of it. Why don't you go up another step? There you go. And we can even, then you can hold it down a bit lower and we can see your faces. That's brilliant. Fantastic. We've got a church here. Is that Christ Church? That is. Fantastic. Look at that. I wondered if we could together as a community read this one verse together. I don't know if you can see it from where you are. Pardon? Do you want to move this way a bit? Come across the... That's it. Brilliant. Okay, let's say together. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Thank you so much. Brilliant. You're going to put that down on the ground now. Thank you so much for your help.
Children, thank you so much. That was wonderful anyway. Thank you so much. We're coming towards the end now, and we're going to finish with another carol. I'm not sure I actually have sung this recently, so it's Joy to the World. And let's sing it with great joy. Joy to the world. What is God preparing for me for 2020? So let's stand and let's praise God together now.